All right, welcome back, everybody. Baseball is Boring Show, live from Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. And we are honored to have on our own, part of our Baseball is Boring family, our boots on the ground in Chicago, the person who has the most informative and hottest takes when it comes to the worst team in baseball and all things baseball. And you can catch her podcast on the Baseball is Boring umbrella with a guy you might know, Johnny Gomes, the Pitch and Moan podcast, which... Courtney, I assume, is coming. It's coming around the corner. We have to track down Johnny. We have to track down Johnny. But it doesn't matter if Johnny's there or not. You're the best. Thank you for joining us.
Well, honestly, Rob, you know, it's always a pleasure to be with you. It's always a pleasure to be with Johnny, too. We love him. But when I can pitch and moan with you about the White Sox, you know, we got a good thing going.
That's right. All right. So at Courtney883 is the social media account. So go check it. That's how Courtney, to go back to, again, we like to pull back the curtain. This, I saw like your takes and how passionate you were about the White Sox, about baseball. And so a few years ago, you sort of got in touch with you. And next thing you know, you're the fabric of the Baseball is Boring community. And it just so happens you are embedded there with a team that, you know, it's not a not interesting team because it's a historic team, Courtney. It's a team, I'm going to rattle it off. 32-110. They've lost 13 of the last 14, 17 of the last 19, 43 of the last 48, and 49 of the last 57. Thank you for all that you do, Courtney, for taking on this task of being a White Sox fan and making us all feel better about ourselves.
I laugh because I get tweets from people, even in Boston, saying, oh my gosh, you know, this Red Sox team is the worst thing I've ever seen. And I go, no. Do not take this away from me, okay? We are 32-110. We are 10 losses away from tying the all-time loss record. Nobody has this worse than I do, and I want to make that clear. The Red Sox still have a shot. The White Sox are dead and buried times 10. Hmm. So I nobody has it worse than I do this year. That's all I'm going to say.
How many games have you been to this year?
I have been, this is no surprise, this is the least amount of games I've been to this year. I've been to five, and that's
okay. That's okay. That's five more than I have. So you have the pulse of the fan base, and so to understand like how bad this is, like, because Courtney, as we've talked about, you've gone to every opening day with your dad, right? Like every opening day for how many years now?
Well, since 2000. So you do the math. So that was my 24th this year, my 24th. Yeah,
24th. So you've gone through the good times, and the good times weren't that long ago. But when you sit there and you see this, and this sort of, sure, you know, like 32-110 lead to apathy. But this is what I love about talking to you, Courtney. You're not apathetic. You're angry, and you should be angry. So talk about how our people. Where is the apathy versus anger meter when it comes to Chicago White Sox?
What I think it mostly is, I mean, I am still very angry because, to me, this is the third largest market in the country. This is Chicago, okay? You know, this is a rabid sports town similar to Boston. Like, we expect a certain level of competitiveness from our teams. We expect a certain level of ownership. We expect a certain level of accountability. And the fact that this is not happening on the South Side is unacceptable. So I feel like we're at a stage now where it's like a roller coaster of emotions. You know, you go at a game and you're angry because they're playing terrible defense in the field. You know, they give out three horrible errors at second base and you're just like, this team's a joke. Like, what am I even looking at here? And then, like, someone like me who's very sarcastic, you know, you have to sort of laugh through it. If you don't laugh, you die, you know?
So put it on the bumper stickers. 2024 Chicago White Sox, : if you don't laugh, you die.
Literally. I mean, you have to, because that's how bad this season has been. So it's been a roller coaster of emotions. I go from anger to making jokes to apathy to just being flat out disgusted. You know, it's been a roller coaster, and I don't wish it upon anyone that's a true sports fan, because, you know, my summers are wrapped around baseball. You know that. Everyone knows that. You know, you follow me on Twitter. That's all I talk about in the summer is baseball. So having this team be so bad, that takes a huge chunk of my summer away from me. And that's just not acceptable. So
again, at Courtney, sorry not to interrupt, but at Courtney883, I want to make sure everyone has that opportunity to follow you, Courtney.
Well, and listen, you know you can't interrupt me on my rants. You know that.
Sorry. I mean, our timing's a little off, but usually it's right on point. The chemistry is usually right on point. But I think that overall, the my problem is that I don't understand the angle. Like, this is what we're talking about, Courtney. We're doing the show up for another couple hours here, and it's going to be a lot of ranting about the Red Sox because here we're at Fenway Park. But I can't imagine. Chicago's a big town. Yes, they have two teams. But Chicago's a big town. And I can't imagine going through anything like this. You could go through it in Tampa, fine. But to go through it in a place that is so passionate and actually has money to spend, and there is an expectation of being good, and actually there's probably an element of trying to be good, which is the worst part about it, Courtney. Like,
exactly.
That's why you're
so
angry, yes.
And this is a chartered franchise. You know, I mean, my White Sox roots go way back. You know, my grandmother was a diehard White Sox fan, you know, watching this team in the 40s and 50s. You know, like you said, no offense to, you know, the rest of the fan bases like Tampa or the Rockies or anyone like that, but we have deep-rooted history in Chicago. And, you know, this is a fan base that has, you know, 80-year-olds not believing what they're seeing with this team. And it's heartbreaking when you really think about it. And, again, I'm going to rewind to what happened last year when, you know, the White Sox fired Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams, which we all thought maybe was the start of something great. I, of course, was hesitant because I had heard about Chris Getz moving up the ranks. But Chris Getz went on in his press conference and said he plans on competing this year in the, and I quote, weak AL Central. Well, flash forward to this year, and number one, the AL Central is not weak at all. And number two, they can't even compete with a high school team. So to say that, and then literally come with this team a year later is completely unacceptable.
All right, Courtney. I love your anger and your passion. And again, at BB isn't boring to take in all of Courtney's rants and podcasts and all her excellence. We've been doing it together for a couple years now. And one of the other things that we've been doing also is you are our ballpark reviewer. And I think this stretches beyond all to all fan bases everywhere. And I had the very controversial take. I think somebody had said that Dodger Stadium was garbage, and I said no, it's good. But you know, whatever. But you have done the ballpark power rankings, and you have put Petco Park, the Padres ballpark, at number one. I think solely because they have a wine cellar. Correct.
That definitely was the cherry on top for me. I mean, I've never seen that in my life in a ballpark. I mean, we're not talking just, you know, a couple of wines here. We're talking you open a glass door and you enter walls of wine. I mean, it's like nothing I've ever seen before. And Petco really by far has the best concessions, the best food, the best drink offerings. Location is perfect, and for a 20-year-old ballpark, it is immaculate how clean it is. Hmm. It's immaculate. People forget that park's been around for 20 years. So I that to me is that's the park right there. That's the cherry on top of MLB. Very impressed. Would go back in a heartbeat. The White Sox are going to be there in a couple weeks, so you know, with temptation there.
Listen, it's not like forget if you have a wine cellar in baseball, like it's done. It's sort of like. As you point out, the Rangers tried putting a margarita in a helmet. Excellent effort.
Yeah.
Excellent effort. So
they get an A for effort in my book. They do, but nobody's topping the Petco wine cellar. And they give away wine tastings. You know, I walk in there and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I walk in there and I could tell the bartenders knew I had never been here. And they're like, "Oh yeah, let's have you come over and we'll give you some tastings." I said, "Oh, I may not leave. I mean, this is incredible." So Very impressive. Very impressive.
You do all the hard work, so we don't have to. We appreciate everything,
exactly.
Courtney.
Hey,
Courtney, listen, it's always, I'm glad you've been introduced to the fine folks here in New England. And I know that a lot of them have already heard you on the Baseballs and Boring podcast. It's a national podcast, but obviously a lot of Boston-based people, and you're doing such awesome work. And again, in this case, you're doing God's work. You're drinking at ballparks and you're being a White Sox fan. So those two things, God's work, Courtney. Thank you so much.
That is God's work. And I do appreciate it as always, Rob. I'm rooting for the Red Sox. You know, I got a lot of love for you guys. So try to get a strong finish here.
All right, Courtney. That's Courtney Finicum. Again, if you want to catch her, at Courtney. I'm sorry, at C Finicum 883. And a great follow. This is where I became aware of her excellence and her spiciness and her rants and her knowledge of the great game of baseball. And that's why she falls under the Baseballs and Boring umbrella. So there you go. There you go. So I hope she made you feel better, Red Sox fans. I hope that made you feel better. That's what we're here to do, because we're turning the page. All right, you got a one-game win streak. You have all these people coming up, the Christian Campbells, the Kyle Teals, the Roman Anthonys. All these people come up. Mikey Romero, he's tearing it up at Portland. Oh, my goodness. And you know what? It's the gift that we are going to unwrap for you even more, because Brian Abraham, the farm director, he's coming on at 1:30. We're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to get to Brian Abraham, and then we're going to have the Woo Sox Power Hour. Anybody who has a soul should have gone to Polar Park by now. But if you haven't, we're going to give the what's what when it comes to all things Woo Sox. And there's a lot of attention in minor league baseball in focus on Worcester. Natalie Norrie, Tyler Murray, they're going to help us in studio along with the first ever Woo Sox Wasabi Challenge. All right, be back after this. All right, man, I'm giddy. Been such a good show. Joe Braverman, behind the glass, he's pitched a perfect game. He did a Cooper Criswell. Good job, Joe. Now you're handing it off.
I did my job, as Alex.
You did your job. You did four innings of perfect baseball. Baseball producing. Baseball isn't boring producing. Excellent job. And now you're handing it over to Tom. We're going to define if Tom's an intern, if he's a part-timer, if he's a college student, if he's a pro, if he's a grizzled veteran, whatever he is. But Tom is taking over now. He is coming on. He's the role of Rich Hill. Is played by Tom, coming in for Cooper Criswell. Let's see if Spencer Torkelson takes you deep or not, or if you execute flawlessly. And we're sitting at the end of the show saying, yes, that was the first ever perfect game pitched by multiple producers on the Baseballs and Boring show. You ready, Tom?
Yes, sir. I'm ready, Bradfeld.
Oh, you sound a little
20
nervous.
Years younger than Rich Hill, so.
You said, well, listen, Rich Hill's the best. All right. So we're going to have Brian Abraham come on in a second. But I do think, the more I thought about having the fact that we had Courtney Finicum on, again, part of the Baseballs and Boring family, boots on the ground in Chicago, I think it was such a good idea, because you had the opportunity to feel better about yourself. You did. So the White Sox, it is so unbelievably crazy how bad the White Sox are. It's remarkable. It's. I mean, I just rattled off the numbers or the records. I mean, 32 and 110. 13 of the last 14 games they've lost. 17 of the last 19. 43 of the last 48. 49 of the last 57. That's incredible.
It is unfathomable. And it would be, I guess, it would be different if maybe it was like Oakland, who's been like historically bad, but the White Sox.
No, I asked Courtney this because teams like the White Sox isn't supposed to happen, because you have resources. That's the frustrating part about this, is that if you have a down year, like they did last year, let's be honest. So they have a down year last year. They try to turn it over the trade deadline, and then you head into this year. You have a new GM. You're on your way. And you in this that market, that should not be happening. Much like if you want to spin it to the Red Sox market, fine. This is, I mean, I'm not even talking. I can't even imagine, like, what it would be like in Boston. This wouldn't happen. I mean, it wouldn't happen. you would not only have manager fired, GM fired, owner fired, ballpark fired, everybody. Like, it would just be a complete enema in Boston. It would not happen. And the fact is that we're sitting here with the Red Sox. You think that if they don't make the playoffs this year, you think that even with the John Henry 20-1, 30-1 speech that he gave the Financial Times, you think that any of that would have, like, you think that they're going to do that again? There's no chance of that happening again. There isn't. The Red Sox are going to be better next year. That is, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, more talented, you never know what's going to happen, but they are going to be better next year. They are going to be a more talented team. They are going to start the year with a more palatable win-loss, win total for the over-under, which is obviously enormously important in science. More than, I think, what did they have, 78.5? 78.5 this year, I think, they started out. And that was before they had all the injuries. It will be that case. You will not have a White Sox situation. And you cannot do this like the Orioles did it. The Orioles gutted their fan base by doing what they do and taking that road, which is basically the White Sox road right now. They gutted that fan base, and they're still having a hard time filling that park and getting people back, even with that exciting team. Anyway, speaking of excitement, let's go. Friend of the program, member of the family, Brian Abraham, farm director. He's back. What's going on, my friend? How are you?
Hi, Rob. I'm great. How are you?
See, why are you trying to hide your enthusiasm? Like, you always try to hide your enthusiasm.
I'm fired up.
You are, yes. I gave you a Japanese baseballs and boring T-shirt yesterday. Your brand has never been hotter.
It actually fit. It wasn't a triple XL, which was great. I will wear it in pride, and I'm very excited to wear it. My son, my whole family was jealous. They wanted their own, but I said this is just for me.
There's an opportunity for them. It's not like they can't get one. I mean, if you go to @BB isn't boring, you can find them. Listen, early Christmas presents. Let's go. All right. Well, yeah. Speaking of early Christmas presents, you oversee one of the most focused on minor league teams in all of baseball, the Worcester Red Sox. Congratulations for that. It must be exciting. I know you also oversee other teams in the minor leagues. So first of all, look, for you as the farm director, what is it like this time of year? Like, what is it like? What do you do? Like, what's going on? What do you do?
Good question. I mean, obviously we're winding down with our minor league affiliates. Our A-ball seasons end this week. They end tomorrow. Unfortunately, they did not make the playoffs, so Greenville and Salem will be going home. Portland is leading the division in the second half for the AA Eastern League division. So hopefully they'll be playing a little bit longer. Then Worcester, you know, goes until the 23rd. So, you know, just a lot of making sure, you know, the same as most of the year, adjusting rosters, making sure we have healthy players and they're continued able to perform and work throughout the season. But a huge part of this time of year is preparing players for the off season, whether that be exit conversations about what they need to work on, kind of going over their years in review, and then really trying to talk to players about what they're going to be doing, where they're going to be working out in the winter, whether that be on the strength and conditioning side, whether that be on the baseball side. And then, you know, for some of those players, we're asking them or expecting them to be in Fort Myers for a significant part of this off season. So, that is primarily what is happening at this time of the year. Again, a lot of it is kind of just the day in and day out of the minor league season, but I think really preparing for the off season, because we are not around our players as much in the winter. That is a big part of what's going on right now.
All right, Farm Director Brian Abraham joins us. Before we get to the nuts and bolts, are there anybody, you said that, you know, rosters are shutting down, you got to move guys around, roster, whatever it is. Is there anybody that you can tell us that is moving up in today or tomorrow or anything like that?
We've had a couple of small transactions go on the last couple of days because of a couple of guys that have been banged up. We're sending Jacob Webb up to AAA. He will be active today, and Uwasawa will be going on the IL with some arm soreness. But, you know, again, fairly basic transactions, a couple other moving parts. You know, we're probably going to send some players from Greenville up to Portland. so they can be a part of the playoff, hopeful playoff race. But nothing really too significant at this point in terms of promotions. I think most of those have been done. Those are planned ahead, and we tried to give some players some runway at their next affiliate for, you know, the final weeks of the season. So whether they are, you know, they deserved it, or we're going to give them a taste of that next level, that's kind of over at this point. So, you know, making sure that, again, I think that, you know, Chad Epperson in AA, they have a full roster that can compete day in and day out as they prepare for this final week and a half playoff push. And then, you know, obviously with Trace and AAA, balancing that roster in AAA, but also making sure we have depth for the Major League club, whether that be someone going down or just deciding, you know, AC and Brez and the leadership group deciding that they want to make an adjustment with the roster. So that AAA team is still kind of going to be running on, you know, full steam because of the Major League club. And, you know, there's still a lot of season left, despite there only being a few weeks. I think there's a lot can happen in the next few weeks, and, you know, we need to make sure we're prepared for that.
Can you say who's getting called up to Portland?
I cannot at this point. We sent Gabriel Jackson just went up yesterday, so that was the initial transaction. Again, a couple things in the works that are probably going to be going up, that guys will be going up, but well-deserved players that are going to spend some time in Portland. But you know, it's hard to, just like a major league transaction, it's hard to talk about who's going to be moving before they actually move, because a lot can happen in a couple games, you know, 18-inning games, two games. So. Yeah, I don't want to get it too ahead of myself, but some well-deserving players will be moving post-game tomorrow.
I got you. I understand. Brian Abraham, farm director, even though he's part of the family, even though I get him T-shirts, he still can't tell us who's getting called up to Portland. That's okay. It's all right. We understand you have a job
Part of being a family is being honest, and I'm being honest with you, Rob. You know,
you are being honest in the sense that you're saying you can't tell me. So yes,
yeah,
so
I mean, come on.
I understand. Listen, families have difficult conversations. I understand this. All right,
yeah, no, for sure.
In that vein, let's talk about some of the guys in Worcester that we've talked about for a few weeks now. One of the things that I'm curious about, and as I said last week, I got a chance to sit down with Christian Campbell, and seems like a great guy, and I gave you the information that D. Gordon is his mentor. You're welcome. He's been playing shorts. He's been playing all over the place, but he's been playing shortstop. There seems to be, on the major league level, and I never quite understood this, probably like I should, when the major league team has a spot that is so clearly, this is going to be a spot that is potentially open, not necessarily absolutely going to be open, but potentially more than others, that you still don't play him there. And I'm talking about second base. And the example I'll give, it took forever to move Jeter Downs off of shortstop. Like, and then he played second base and he wasn't good. But I just look at it like in Christian Campbell's case, it seems like there might be an opportunity at second base. So why doesn't the organization say, okay, we're going to spend the vast majority of time at second base?
Well, I think the first part of that is we need to prepare guys for anything that could potentially happen in Boston or the big league. So Christian Campbell, we drafted him as a second baseman. That is his, you know, primary position, that is his first position, that is where he's probably the most comfortable. So exposing him to other areas is really important as a part of his development process, whether that is going to ultimately be where he ends up at shortstop or third base or center field. There is still to be determined if that will be the case. A lot can happen. You know, we play him every day at second base, and there's an opportunity in the big leagues, and he needs to play third base. So making sure he's exposed to all those areas, again, where he probably is the most comfortable at second, allows us to move him to some other spots. It's also a balance of other players on the roster, allowing them to get time at their positions. Some guys might be more immediate major league depth. Some players might need to get certain games at certain positions. So we do have like a fairly complex playing matrix for our players that, you know, they play X number of games at a certain position throughout a two-week period. The reality is sometimes that has to that changes and that's adjusted for various reasons, whether that be health, whether that be a major league call-up. But I think to pigeonhole a player into a specific position is unfair to the player, especially I think if we're speaking specifically about Christian, someone who's incredibly athletic, who, whatever we throw at him, he adjusts and becomes better at the back end of it. And I think provides a ton of value through his versatility and his ability to play other positions really well. So I like, that's the short answer. Just the long answer, I guess, is saying, you know, while we see him as a second baseman, we also could see him as a shortstop. We also could see him as a third baseman. We also could see him as a center fielder or an outfielder. And you just never really know what's going to happen at the major league level. So we need to prepare these guys for anything that could happen. So I definitely get where the question, and it does make a lot of sense in a lot of ways. But again, I think our job is to prepare these guys for anything that could come up, and that's what we're doing with Christian and some others.
That's a good answer. I'll take that.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Luis Guerrero has been called up. He throws 100.
Yeah.
He's striking out like a crazy amount of guys in the last couple of weeks. I think it was his last 12 and third innings. I think he struck out like 23 guys. What for you, obviously he just got called up and he's earned that call up. What for you was the thing that allowed him to do this, to be at this level where the major league team actually feels like in this most important time, we can actually call this guy up and he can be effective, compared to maybe even earlier in the year where you needed spots in the bullpen?
Yeah, I think over the past month or so, you know, 40, 50, 60 days, his control, his command has been much more improved. He's throwing a lot more strikes. You know, he has swing and miss stuff. He has a power fastball. He has a swing and miss split that when it's on, it drops off the table. He has a slider that has a swing and miss pitch as well that's really come along as well. So to me, when he's thrown strikes consistently, he's been really, really effective. Even when he doesn't throw strikes in AAA, he's able to get outs. But I think over the last, like I said, the last month plus or so, he's been in the zone a lot more consistently. He's been a lot more trustworthy. He's been able to get outs quick. He's been able to get strikeouts, swing and misses, everything that we drive and that we push on the pitching side, he's really done. And I think that's a testament to him taking a step back over that time period and saying, what do I need to do to take that next step? I think we've talked about it for, you know, last year, we've talked about it this year, but I think sometimes until the player really grasps it and is really to embrace it, it's sometimes hard to make those incremental those incremental adjustments and changes. And I, you know, he's been very intentional with his work in bullpens, very intentional with his catch play. And we've seen production, we've seen progress, and we've seen an ability to throw more strikes with all three of his pitches. So I think it's consistency. I think you'd say the same thing for any of our bullpen arms now in Boston. When those guys are throwing strikes, when they have good stuff, they're able to get out. So when they are kind of all over the place, when they're missing their spots, when they're behind the count, they get hit. Big league hitters are just too good. So I don't think it's a secret for success for Luis, and I think he's been doing what we want a lot of our pitchers to do, and he's done it at an incredibly consistent pace, and he's well-deserving of an opportunity in Boston at this point because of that.
All right. Last question, Brian Abraham, farm director of the Boston Red Sox, is I'm not going to ask you about Roman Anthony because, you know, he's good. He's number two. And what are you going to say when Baseball America ranks you as a number two prospect in baseball? It's like, as a farm director, you're like, yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's great. Like, you can't, let's say, give him an award, right? I mean, you don't want his head to get big, and I don't think it will get big. But, I'm right, right? I mean, there's nothing you can say about that, really. It's good. It's good for us. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we're really happy. I mean, I think Marcelo has said this before. These guys have been ranked their entire lives. I think they probably all rather be toward the top versus toward the bottom. So I think it's more just a testament to the work he's putting in, the progress he's made, the production, and people seeing him as a really good player. I don't think he would say, like, it's time for him to stop or not work as hard or to say, like, oh, hey, my goal is to be the number one prospect or number two prospect in baseball. I think that is far from these guys' goals. And there's been plenty – I think we can look back. There's been plenty of top prospects. There's been plenty of top 30s, plenty of top 100 players that just don't have the success that they want or the team wants in the big leagues. So it is definitely great. I'd say the same thing about farm system rankings. I'd much rather be number one than number 30. But at the end of the day, there's still a lot of work to be done for Roman and, you know, for the organization to be consistent and for us to be sustainable for an extended period of time.
See, that was a great answer for that statement/question. That was really, as a farm director, that was legitimately a great answer for that. It wasn't like you weren't poo-pooing it, But you were also saying like this, it's being realistic. So excellent answer. Braden Montgomery, when I saw him and talked to him, he's wheeling around his leg. He's obviously the first round pick of the Red Sox. And so he was a guy who he said he's going to be ready for spring training next year. What's he doing now? And is he going to be ready to, as a full go for spring training next year?
Yeah, I think that the short answer to that is yes. We don't expect him to have any limitations by the time spring training rolls around. He's made a lot of progress. Like you said, the last time you probably talked to him, which was probably a couple weeks ago, maybe even longer, he was wheeling around. He's not wheeling around anymore. He's obviously a lot of treatment on his ankle, but full strength conditioning integrated into our programming down at Fort Myers. He's doing some pool-based running and moving around. We're expecting full baseball activity in the near future, so probably right around once the minor league season ends, we're expecting to start ramp up, and he'll spend some time in Fort Myers to prepare for next year. But he's recovering really well. If anything, we've gotten to know him on a personal level a little bit more, on a little bit more intimate level. We've gotten to see how hard of a worker he is, how excited he is to make a difference next year. And, you definitely don't draw it out this way. For young draft picks or top end guys to be in Fort Myers and work on their strengths and work on their adding lean mass and preparing for the years ahead that they have. But in a lot of ways, I consider it a positive. He gets to know our staff. He gets to have a clear understanding of what we're trying to do on the hitting side. Gets a clear understanding of what we're trying to do on the defensive side, and then really can focus on his body. Really can focus on. Again, adding some really good weight, adding strength that will prepare him for not just next year, but for years to come. And definitely gameplay is really valuable. Getting exposure to affiliates is really valuable. But there's going to be plenty of time for that. And I think having a foundation is going to allow for success over the longer term versus just maybe success early on. So, we're really happy with where he's at. Again, I think it's to see how hard he's been working, to see how excited he is to eventually get back on the field. Has been a unique experience for us for a top pick, but we're really happy to have him, and I know he's really excited to get going soon.
All right, excellent job. This might be one of your best appearances. Awesome, excellent job.
Well, it's opening day for North Stars hockey today. My son's hockey team, believe it or not. So I think I have a little pep in my step today.
Oh, nice
hockey season.
You know what? We're gonna have on. So we're doing the WooSox Power Hour coming up with Tyler Murray and Natalie Norrie. And Natalie also does Hockey East. So I want to ask her which is better, hockey or baseball, or which is a better sport to go to, right? I love asking that question. Which is a better sport to go to? I could even ask the other one, which I've asked Marvin Harrison Jr. about football, which is more difficult, catching a touchdown pass or hitting a home run. Like all of these things, they all lead back to baseball winning. So that's what my point.
I mean, I don't think there's much. There's not too many things in this world better than watching baseball, in my opinion. But watching my son play hockey and baseball, especially again with the start of hockey today, is always fun. New year, new opportunity.
Put the baseball is important sticker on his hockey helmet. That's all I ask.
That's a good call, Rob.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, Brian. Thank you. All right, the great Grub, Brian Abraham. Brian Abraham, farm director of the Red Sox. As we said, we get the WooSox Power Hour coming up. Natalie Norrie, sideline reporter for the WooSox, and Tyler Murray, broadcaster for both the Red Sox and WooSox, both going to be in studio. We're going to be doing the first ever WooSox Wasabi Challenge. First, we're going to bring in Natalie before the WooSox Power Hour because I do want to ask her, which is better, hockey or baseball? Because it's that time of season now. And you can call in if you weigh in. You want to talk to Natalie, you want to talk to Tyler, you want to talk to me. 617-779-7937. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show.
Baseball Isn't Boring with Brad Lowe on WEEI.
All right, we're back. Baseball Isn't Boring live from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. Reminder, the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio is brought to you by Ford, New England Ford dealers, and the Freedom of Choice Shop deals built for you on the New England Ford Edition F-150, official truck of the Red Sox. Well, speaking of official, we have an official guest member of the Baseball Isn't Boring family. Congratulations, Natalie Nori. You're officially a member of the Baseball Isn't
Family
Boring.
Now?
You're family. Let's you have a t-shirt.
I do. I finally got one.
You also did a video with Tristan Casas, which is our most watched video of all time.
Is it actually?
It is.
No way.
It is. And this was, in case people don't, go to the @BB Isn't Boring Instagram account. And it was an impromptu video. And it was Tristan Casas taking great pride that he knew the details of your Birkin bag?
Louis Vuitton.
Louis Vuitton.
Yes.
But it's not Birkin bag is no. Something different, right?
It is. It is something different.
Okay.
He mentioned he wants one, I think.
He thought he became an expert.
Yeah.
And he was rattling off all the different things about your Louis Vuitton bag. Was he accurate?
No, he actually wasn't. And I'm gonna put him on blast for that one.
Let's go.
Casas was incorrect about my Louis Vuitton. I will say something really great about him is he can say whatever with conviction and be totally convincing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything, obviously.
He picked the Dallas Mavericks in 4. Yes, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure certain things he's, you know, of course, accurate about. But yeah. Louis Vuitton in this circumstance was not. But I will give him kudos because he picked up on the details that the normal person would not. I will say the one thing he got wrong was the year. That's like the only thing.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. The one thing he got wrong.
What was the year?
I think the year was 21.
The year of your bag?
Yes.
And what year did he guess?
2020.
Oh, real? See?
I mean, yeah, 1 year off.
I mean, that's kind of a, even I know that's a stupid guess. Like, who was making Louis Vuitton bags in COVID?
Yeah, you're right.
Like, what is, right. it's, come on, no. Let's go. Anyway, but my overall point is, thank you for all your support. Thank you for stopping by here, the studios here. It has spawned the idea of doing the Woo Sox Power Hour. We just had on Brian Abraham, yeah. Farm director. Nice. And so, you know, Tyler Murray is going to be coming down, and I look forward to so much to talking with you guys, all things Woo Sox, but most importantly, doing the first ever Woo Sox Wasabi Challenge.
Yeah.
Which, in case people don't know this, everyone knows about it, right? Everyone knows about it. I mean, everyone knows.
Should know about it.
Tristan Casas has done it. Vaughn Grissom has done it. I've done it with Tristan Casas.
they got you.
They did. In the Worcester dugout.
Yeah.
So the idea, Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage, Wasabi Technologies, you see them all over Fenway Park, sponsored in Nesson Studios, and the title sponsor of Baseball Isn't Boring. So we wanted to do something that embedded the name Wasabi in their head and while educating people about the great game of baseball. So what we do is we say, what are you an expert at? Okay, we are going to ask you the question about that thing. And if you get it wrong, you have to eat a generous helping of wasabi.
Which is disgusting.
I know. That's what makes it great. That's the whole idea.
I mean, kudos. You got a great idea out of it.
Thank you. Yeah. It will make you. So in this case, we're going to ask you, the Woo Sox experts, about the Woo Sox.
Okay.
And you are going to leave here maybe a little bit more in pain than you wanted. But at the same time, you're going to leave more educated Woo Sox reporters.
You're right. Because I know we were just talking about this. The whole point of this is to ask the question that you might get wrong.
Yes.
In order to eat the wasabi.
Yes.
It's a memorable experience.
It's like, right, just right. Like I tell my high school basketball players, you got to get uncomfortable to get comfortable, right?
And then when you do something so significant like this, it's ingrained in your memory and maybe your taste buds.
Yeah. And if it happens to be on video, so be it.
Yeah.
But Brian Abraham, before Tyler comes down, we start taking a deep dive into the Woo Sox Power Hour because everyone cares much. Let's be honest, Natalie Nori, of course, Woo Sox sideline reporter, does an excellent job. And along with Laura Stickles, who also does sideline reporter, and everybody down there does an excellent job. Cooper Boardman, Joe Weil, Mike Antonellis, J.P. Ricciardi, Jim Kane,
Jay Burnham, and Tyler Murray.
we can say kudos to his face.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, so Brian Abraham's taking his kid to hockey practice, right?
Okay.
You're hockey.
Yes.
So you not only are an expert when it comes to hockey, with baseball and the Woo Sox, but you are deep into hockey. I think that you...
Yeah, it's funny because, like, you've seen that quote before, like, I speak, like, 3 different languages, English, hockey, and profanity. Like, that kind of thing. But no, I've loved hockey since I was like 10 years old. My grandpa was a huge Bruins fan.
Okay.
I just really got into it, I guess, in 2011. He was diagnosed with bone cancer. And to spend like time with him, good quality time, the Bruins were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we did. And really learned to love the sport, the game, and like the whole idea of the fact that like sports really can take you away from some of like the difficult times. Reality is tough, but if you can turn the game on, share a good experience, I think that's the most valuable part of it. I got, and then I just learned about hockey and developed like a massive passion for it and decided to go to UNH because it's a hockey school and all the above. So
and that's the ultimate. Thank you for sharing that, because that is the ultimate example, and not only with hockey but with baseball. So many great stories. And you know, and we just had the Jimmy Fun families and kids on the field yesterday, and that was another example of this, how this all is bringing us together. And to see that image, and I'm glad you brought this up, because I did want to mention this, the image of those people on the field yesterday was so incredibly powerful. So before I ask you this very important hockey versus baseball question, tell me what you're doing with hockey coming up.
Oh gosh. So I work in Hockey East. I love the conference, the league there. I'm a ringside reporter in Hockey East. I'm also a fill-in in-arena host with the Boston Bruins. I was an in-arena host for PWHL Boston last year. I did the IIHF Women's World Championships in
New York.
A lot of hockey, yeah.
And now it all starts, right?
Exactly, yeah. It's funny because by April, I've developed this like Canadian accent, and then I come back to baseball, and I'm like...
Well, you immediately become a nice person with an accent. That's what Canadians are. Exactly. They're all nice people. Yeah. All right, we have to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back and ask you this question. This will be good, because it'll give you a chance to think about it in the break.
Okay, dog.
Which is, A... Which is better sport to go to? Don't answer. Which is a better sport to go to?
Yeah.
Which is a better sport?
Oh, my God.
And which is more difficult, scoring a goal in a hockey game or hitting a home run? All right?
Oh, my God.
All these, yes.
Thought-provoking.
That's what we're here for. Baseballs are boring. All right. Tyler Murray is coming in. Natalie Norrie is here. What a time. It's a party. If you want to join it, 617-779-7937. Appreciate everybody. Be back right after this.